Wow, amen. Well, good morning, Queens and City Campus. It is a joy for us to join you all today. I do want to give a big thank you to the Barnes and to all of you for letting the campus come and crash your service today. I hope you enjoyed the worship, and let's give it up for Renan with communion as well. You know, we started this city campus region about 2 years ago as a temporary effort to rebuild the campus ministries in the city of New York to really try to build for the future of the church there. And so I'm going to give it over to Chelsea to share a little bit more about how God has been working.
Well, a few years ago, right during the time of COVID, we had a lot of turnover with the campus ministers in New York City. And the campus ministry, it was starting to not grow. It was getting smaller because of COVID, and there weren't any campus ministers in New York City. So we got a lot of input, and the input we got was, let's do something radical, and let's pull all the campus ministries in the city together and pull all the campus ministers together to minister to those students in the city. Yeah. And what we felt like was so special about that is, if you know anything about Gen Z, young people, they thrive off community and relationships and friendships. And so we felt like this was the best way to meet that need. For instead of having a small campus ministry spread throughout New York City with not really much help, not really any ministers, let's pull them all together so we could pull the ministers together too and give them a bigger, more exciting, more faith-building campus ministry. And so the first year of doing this, we just focused a lot on building convictions and building community. And it's been so great because we've seen our group and our students transform into becoming like family. Like when we first started, it was kind of like this region over here, this region over here, this region over here. But now it's like everybody knows each other and it feels like one big family. And we also started with really building deep convictions from the Bible. We started talking about reading your Bible every day, what it looks like to reach out to people, what it looks like to be in each other's lives and call each other higher, all those things that all of us as disciples need. We've been able to focus on that specifically of what that looks like as a young person, as an 18 to 23 year old. What does that look like? So that's been really, really helpful. And also the first thing we focused on as ministry leaders is we wanted to train up more campus ministers to go into the ministry. And that was another big specific reason why we started this campus region. And since then, we've been able to put several students into the ministry. We've had Caleb go into the full-time ministry. He's an NYU graduate. And he's not here today because he just got married, literally 2 days ago, to Julia, who's an amazing young woman from Long Island. And they're both going to be campus ministers in New York City when they get back from their honeymoon. So that's really exciting. We've also seen Gigi become an intern. We've had Nina interning with us this summer, which has been amazing. So it's been really great to see some young people start to be dreaming again of wanting to go into the ministry and giving them an opportunity to be trained by other campus ministers in the city. But lastly, we just wanted to give you guys a big thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for loving your students. We love your college students so much. They are so special to us, and they are an amazing group of students. And thank you for supporting us, because we can't do this without your support. But it's been a really amazing all that God is doing. We've seen multiple people become Christians. We've started with Bible Talks in Manhattan, and then we're moving on to the Bronx, and we're starting to spread out to some of the other boroughs as we get more training and get a little bit bigger and get some more leadership. So it's really awesome to see what God's doing. There's our beautiful family. But thank you so much for your support. I know this is a sacrifice, but just know that God is moving and we love you.
Amen. Thank you, Chelsea. And so I hope that you get to have some great time of fellowship together today and some good time to talk with each other and get to know each other better between the campus and the Queens disciples here. But before that, we're going to preach the word a little bit. Is that all right? I know that your theme for this year is rebuild, restore, Renew. And what I've heard from Sean is that this summer, you're focusing on rebuilding, restoring, renewing your relationships.
Right,
and that's such a big and important part of being a Christian is our relationships. And so the title of the message today is, I went the wrong way, is build deep relationships. To build deep relationships, right? Because we don't want shallow relationships. We don't want fake or surfacey relationships. We want to have deep, genuine, brother-to-brother, sister-to-sister relationships in the church. Amen?
Amen.
And John chapter 17 is an amazing chapter of Jesus really praying and pouring his heart out to God before he goes to the cross. And I think that in this prayer, we see just how much relationship and being relational is part of our lives, of what it means to be a human and what it means to be a Christian. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus prays, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so if you want to know, well, what's heaven all about? What is life? What's eternal life really all about? It's about knowing God. It's about knowing Jesus. The purpose of our entire earthly and eternal existence is a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus. So relationship is what we're even here for. It's what eternity is going to be about. It's about relationship with God. But it doesn't stop there. If we have a relationship with God, we have to have relationship with the other people who have a relationship with God. Amen? In John chapter 17, verse 20, after the dot, 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 Jesus kept praying. He say, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, that they may be one as we are one." And so once we know God, Jesus is calling us to one another, soul to soul, deep relationships in his church. Right? A relationship that has the kind of closeness that Jesus had with the Father himself. And so we need to be the people who build those relationships. Yeah. That every one of us leaves here today deciding, determined, I'm going to have one another personal, intimate relationships in my life. That I'm not just going to come to church and side hug, "Oh, hey, bro, good to see you. Hey, sis, good to see you today. How was your week? Oh, it was okay." But know that we're going to have actual, intimate, deep, close relationships with at least a handful of other men and women that are part of Jesus' church. Amen? Why is this a concern? It's a concern because there is a growing weakness in our world and therefore in the church in our ability to build deep relationships and connect with people. You know, there's a lot working against it. One of the main things working against intimate, close relationships is modern technology, right? How much time is spent on screens instead of face-to-face, right? And that does remove an element of human interaction that's needed, right? When we think about the development of social skills diminishing, people's emotional intelligence diminishing because of that, the average person's attention span, the fact that about 70 hours a week is spent on a screen.
Wow.
You know, we have so many interactions, and on Facebook, on Instagram, on social media, we have so many friends, but so few people who really know what's going on in our life. And all of that could be a facade to trick us that we have a lot of relationships when really we don't have a lot of one another biblical closeness relationships. And so we've got all that working against us. Along with it, we've got the culture that we live in. We live in a very individualistic, self-focused society. Self-driven. What am I focused on? What are my needs? Don't let other people get in the way of that. We have a default mindset of, well, what's in it for me instead of what's in it for we. Focused on what we need together. And honestly, we just get caught up in the busyness of life that pushes other people out. So much busyness, there's no time. And a third reason that we need to build these convictions is spiritual. That just honestly, a lot of us don't have the deep conviction biblically, I need people in my life. I need people who know me, who know the tough stuff I'm going through, who know the sin that I'm wrestling with, who know how my marriage is doing, how my parenting is going, who knows how my personal walk with God or how it's going at my job is going. That I need support, I need advice, I need prayers, I need love, I need that for me, and I need to be that for other people. We can lack a conviction of how important this is for God. And I do know, too, that in a room like this, some of you here have amazing, deep, close one another relationships. And I want to encourage you today to thank those people in your life, to spend a moment appreciating those people, and to realize that, hey, there's ways maybe which I could even take it deeper or be this to others or help others to be this for each other. And so this morning I've got 2 points to help us build deep relationships. Does that sound good to you? And those 2 points are that we need to value one another relationships and we need to invest in one another relationships. And so first, let's talk about valuing one another. Pretty much with everything, we initiate, we take responsibility, we invest in something that we value. Right? If we don't value it, then we don't. Somebody might tell you about a TV show. And if it doesn't sound good to you, you're not going to invest your time watching it. You just nod your head and go, yeah, no, that sounds great. But you're not going to watch it. But if it sounds awesome, if they tell you it's one of the funniest shows they've ever seen, then maybe you're going to go watch that show. Right? When we know something's worth it, or when it's important to us, then we invest. And so investing starts with valuing. And God has made it super clear how important and necessary relationships are for us. Relationships are so valuable. You know, first of all, God is relational in nature, right? He is 3 in 1. And we were made in His image, in His likeness. And so if God is relational by nature, we need to realize, hey, I'm relational by nature also. I need people as much as I might like to think that I don't. You need people just by your nature. Right? Also, what I said from John 17, the purpose of eternity and life is relational. That should tell us, wow, I need relationship. But then you look at God's created world, right? Look at the animal kingdom. There's about 9 million species of animals on our planet, and there's only 26 that live in solitary. Of 9 million species, there's only 26 that live in solitary. And even those don't live in solitary when they're raising their young, and it's many of those that are endangered right now. Solitary Christians are the ones that are most endangered right now. You know, just look at nature, plants, even rocks, right? Non-living items. Where do you ever just find one rock or one plant? We see in God's created world togetherness, community, and God has created us to be like that as well. Studies even show that relationships affect our health. And studies have shown that extreme loneliness can affect your health as much as a regular cigarette addiction can because of the stress and emotional deprivation. You know, consider how we feel about people who live in isolation for any extended period of time, especially when it's on purpose. You know, a few years ago, maybe 7 years ago or so, when we first moved into the town that we live in New Jersey, I started running on this trail by our house. And it's this paved trail with a lot of other people on it. But I noticed a dirt offshoot into the woods. And after our first few runs, I was like, you know, maybe I'll venture down that dirt path and go on my run that way. Finally, I worked up the courage to do it. And so I'm in the middle of the woods, you know, running on this trail, new environment. I've never been there before. And there's nobody to be seen. And that's comforting, but it's also a little scary. You know, you're like, all right, now I'm alone in the woods. And so I'm running for a bit, and suddenly I see this tree that had fallen over with the spray paint written the word pigs across it. And I'm kind of like already a little eerie, and that just totally creeped me out. And so I'm like, all right, that was weird. I keep going. Just around the bend, I see this makeshift hut set up with stuff hanging outside of it and like some cans. And at that point, I was like, all right, no way. And I turn around and just start running back the other way. I did not want to meet or interact with whoever was living in that space. This is not an actual picture, but this is basically what it looked like. I did not want to see if anybody was home. I did not want to eat and hang out with whoever's deciding to go live this way. Right? Think about this is how we feel when people choose, you know, I'm just going to isolate from other people and from society. And this is how God wants us to live, not isolated, but in community. Right? God does not want any of us, God does not want you to be a creepy, isolated Christian who doesn't have people in your lives and isn't investing in other people's lives as well. Look, the truth is, and I've seen it, everyone gets funky spiritually if they're left on their own long enough. You might be coming to church, but people don't really know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're wrestling with. You're funky spiritually. And the real danger is when you stop smelling your own stink. And other people can smell it, but you don't smell it, so you don't even hear it. Look, close relationships are integral to following Jesus. You know, Jesus connected with the big. He had the 72, the 120, the 5,000. He interacted with the big, but Jesus specialized in the intimate. He had the 12, he had the 3. And so coming to church is great, and coming to church Sunday is important. But we need a handful of people regularly in each other's lives in the day-to-day to help each other to be our best for God. You know, there's two big biblical reasons to value one another relationships. And the summary of it is that you need them to survive spiritually, and you need relationships to thrive spiritually. I'm not sure if this is working or not. But I'll keep going, and if you get it, you can just follow along with where I'm at. You need relationships to survive and thrive spiritually. Just listen to these two scriptures. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters." Right? If you hear that phrase, "see to it," that means, hey, make sure of this. Make this a priority. Make this happen.
That's right.
"See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Okay, great, but how do I do that? Verse 13 says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. You know, we need people who see to it in our lives and people who we're seeing to it in other people's lives, where we're loving each other. This is one of our greatest defenses as Christians, because you can't see all of yourself clearly. And so you won't make it to heaven without relationships. And honestly, life is just going to be a whole lot harder. You need one another to survive spiritually. And so this morning, do you have people seeing to it in your life? Who is it that really knows how you're doing? And are there people you're prioritizing to see to it in their life? That they're getting encouragement, that they're being cared about, that they're being looked after. And if you don't have that, who can you be that for? We need these relationships to survive spiritually. But these relationships don't just help us to survive, they also help us to thrive spiritually. Right? Because we don't want to just like survive as Christians, right? We want to grow. We want to have an impact. We want to do great things for God. And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so to grow, we need to be joined and held together with supporting ligaments. Yeah. This verse says that we grow spiritually when we have strong, close spiritual relationships. Relationships where we inspire each other. Yeah. We work together. We lift each other back up. We call each other higher. We build up one another's faith. We're there to comfort each other, to pray for each other. Right? We're discipling each other. We're really in each other's lives helping each other to grow spiritually out of love and being our best for God. And so we need these relationships, and you should value them. Because the Bible is saying that if you don't have these relationships, you won't survive spiritually, and you won't thrive spiritually either. And I've seen this in my life. And I can't imagine going through just life as a human in this world, as a young single man, as a college student. I can't imagine being a disciple, facing temptation and hardship. I can't imagine dating, being married, or parenting without the people that have been in my life to help me through it all. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. You could go to that slide. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let's value one another relationships. Let's not be someone who should be pitied because when we fall, we have no one to help us up. When you fall is not the time to build those relationships. Yeah, right. Right now is the time to build those relationships so that when you fall, you have someone to help you up. Yeah. Let's not just have one or two, but a handful of these close relationships and value them the way that God calls us to. And if we value one another relationships, then we are going to invest in one another relationships. Where, like I said earlier, if you value, you invest. You all still with me?
Yeah. Come on, Rob.
Deep one another relationships don't just happen automatically. Right? It takes effort. It takes time. It takes energy. Right? Deep one another relationships are built through giving of yourself, through sacrifice, through devotion, through giving attention, through giving your heart. Right? They don't come easily, but they're so worth it once you have them. And what I so appreciate is that God has given us many tools and practices so that we can mutually edify and enrich one another and build these deep one another relationships. You know, if you go to the Bible and you search one another, you're going to find about 100 times in the New Testament that phrase is used. Wow. And really, you can't practice the one another relationships sitting here for an hour and a half. You can't practice any of these verses sitting on Zoom at midweek. You can't practice any of these relationships unless you are in a day-to-day, person-to-person, right? It says one another, close way. There's over 100 verses you're just not practicing and missing out on the blessing of practicing those passages. You know, many of these verses deal with disciples' unity with each other. Deal with loving one another, humility towards each other, our attitudes with each other. It says a lot about what we need help with in our relationships, doesn't it? A lot of these verses are practical commands of things we can do to help each other and to build these deep relationships. And so I'm going to read through some of these, and I want you to think about your relationships and how you could live these investment passages more in those relationships. And I want you to know that the more you put into those relationships, the more you're going to get out of them. And deep relationships are not built quickly. They take time, but they are always worth the investment. Some of these one another passages. I'm not going to read the verses, but I'll just read what they say. You know, Proverbs 17 says, sharpen one another. Another one says, share scriptures with each other. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Serve one another. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Instruct one another. Be perfectly united with one another. Serve one another humbly in love. Confess your sins to one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Be kind and compassionate with one another. Teach and admonish one another. You know, there's others along with this, but just from that list, you could see how living this out, wouldn't this help you grow? Wouldn't this help you survive if you had people in your life doing this for each other? You know, I think sometimes disciples can get together, but there isn't a real spiritual component there. And look, there are 100% times where the spiritual component is just meeting together in each other's homes, breaking bread, and enjoying the favor of all the people. That's part of biblical Christianity, is we don't always have to get into the Bible. We don't always have to whatever. There's time where it's just, hey, we're going to fellowship. We're going to chat. We're going to talk. We're going to party. We're going to have food. We're going to hang out. But it can't always just be that kind of fellowship. Right? We've got to practice these passages with each other as well. If that's how it all always is, you're missing so much of what God wants there to be. And so who are your one another relationships? Is there anybody, is there two or three people that you could confidently say, we practice this with each other? Would they agree with you if you said their name? You want two to three relationships where if you stood up there and said them, they wouldn't be like, we haven't talked in weeks. They've never confessed anything to me. You know, we need, it's one another, right? And so these relationships need to be clear. Who are they going to be? How are they going? Right? Which of these passages stood out to you? Maybe one or two of them where you're like, you know, that one I need to focus on right now. You know, and pick one of these to focus on and talk with those people in your life about how you can do growing in these kinds of relationships. Right? Make decisions, have conversations, initiate and start investing in these kind of one another relationships. Life is busy, and this is usually one of the first things that gets choked out. And so you've got to decide, no, this is so important. I need to prioritize this. I need to fight for this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, Paul writes, out of intense longing, we made every effort to see you, but Satan stopped us. You know, there's a lot that this passage tells me. One is that we should have the heart of Paul, where it says, out of intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Where our discipling, our one another relationship shouldn't be just something that's easy to throw aside in our week. Right? But something that's like, no, we're going to make every effort to get this time together. But it also shows me that one of the things Satan tries to stop is our relationships with each other. You know, Satan doesn't want us to build these kind of relationships. And that should tell you how important they really are. Satan doesn't want us to forgive each other, to work things out, to reconcile, to encourage each other, to make time for each other, to build each other up, to believe in each other. Good. Satan doesn't want any of that. And so how do you see Satan trying to stop you from having close relationships? And even more challenging, does Satan even have to stop you, or are you already stopping yourself? Wow. You know, let this be something you're fighting for so much that Satan's even trying to stop you with it. And when he tries to stop you, don't let him outwit you with his schemes. Right. Remember that we're a family, that we need to love one another as Jesus loved us. And if Jesus valued each of us enough to die for us, then that's how we need to value each other as well. Come on, Now I just want to close out with a handful of practicals that help me to have these relationships. And one of them that it always comes back to is I need to have a plan, right? Who are these one another relationships? Who are the two or three main people that are going to be in my life? That, like I said, I know it and they know it. And we communicate about how often we're going to get together. Maybe you're organized in small groups or Bible talks here, right? It might be a good idea to pick from those people that you are living near, regularly around, that you know that, hey, these are our close discipling or one another relationships. You know, for Chelsea and I, the pals disciple us right now and have been for a couple years. And we talk with them about how often we're going to meet. Okay, we're going to meet every other week. And Chelsea and I don't wait to hear from them. We usually reach out to them on Sunday and go, hey, are we good for this week? Does Thursday at 10 work, right? Or whatever it is, we want that time. We know we need it, and so we initiate. We reach out for it. We make it a priority. And so figuring those things out. Right, and other practicals in these relationships. Another one is big, just to talk often. Right, just talk frequently, texting or voice messages or quick phone calls on the drive or commute ride home on the train or whatever it is. Right, just consistent talking. Encourage one another daily. You don't want to only talk monthly or only when there's a crisis or only in the fellowship on Sunday. Just this regular communication with each other. Right, another big thing is pray for each other every day. Right, what can I pray for you about today? Or this week, what can I pray for you about? Pray for each other every day. There can be two or three people you pray for every day.
Yeah.
Pray for each other. Practice these one another passages. Maybe save this list on your phone and pick one a week and say, hey, let's practice this one this week. Another great practice in one another relationships is to serve and save people together, to get outward focused together. Sometimes we just stay so inward focused on ourselves and on each other, and it helps us so much to just go serve together, to go serve through hope or serve through community in some way, and to get out and share your faith together, pick a park, walk around and share your faith, to find somebody from work or from your neighborhood that you could study the Bible with together. There's nothing like baptizing somebody together. Being on the mission together is so bonding. Obviously, be there for the hard times, the funerals, the hospital visits. When you're sick, you drop everything and you be there for those people. Chelsea and I have felt that in our life. And I know many of you have as well. We've got to drop everything to be there for each other during those hard times. But then also really making sure we're there for each other for the good times. Plan the birthday dinner, right? Be there to celebrate life victories, the promotion, the new job, the graduations, their kids' graduations, the birthday parties. Make time for the victories and the good things as well. We could be so busy, but those things are so important. Have each other in your homes. That's such a big part of knowing each other, is when you actually go into somebody's apartment, somebody's house, there's a barrier that's broken through of intimacy. Hey, we've been in each other's homes. I've met your family. I've seen where you live, right? And sometimes maybe that's something we need help with, is where we live being seen. You know, especially in campus and the singles brothers, we could clean up a little bit when people are coming over. You know, having each other in each other's homes, making memories together. You know, making memories together is so important. Go do fun stuff together. Help other people together. You know what helped them a lot in the Bible, I think? In the first century, what helped them a lot? They spent a lot of time together, and they didn't have smartphones, TV, social media, Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Apple TV, Peacock. They did not have any of that stuff. And they spent a lot of time together. You know, when you go to each other's homes, here's my encouragement. Be more focused on how can I connect with you, not how do I connect with your Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
How can I connect with you? You know, when you're out for a meal together, when you're at an event, when you're at a meal together, when you're at each other's homes, have boundaries with your phone. put it face down on the table, or if you can muster it, keep it in your pocket or your purse. But I'm working on this. I'm going to work on this when I'm with my kids, just when I'm with home. Like, let's not let this be what we give our attention to as much as possible. Right? When we're with people, let's give people our hearts, our attention, our eyes, our time. You know, imagine Jesus with Peter in John chapter 21 if they both had smartphones. Do you love me more than these? More than what now? Sorry, I got a text message quick. What was that, Jesus? I don't know if Jesus would have asked him two more times. You know, let's give each other attention. Invest. What are you investing in? Right? Let's not invest more hours into... Go look on your phone at the... It's humbling. I don't even like to look. Go look at how many hours of screen time are on your phone. And that probably doesn't even count your TV or whatever you watch other stuff on. And compare that to how many hours are spent with God. How many hours are spent with other people. Right? Maybe in a Bible, not in one Bible study, but how many shows we could be watching in a given week. Right? We got to invest in people, invest in relationships. You want to be so tied in to God's church, so tied into relationships, that even if you wanted to leave God, it would not be easy to pull you away. That it would be hard for you to not be growing because you're so integrated. You know, when Chelsea and I first moved into our home, there was these huge old bushes out in the front of our house. And they were ugly. And I wanted to deal with these things. So after, you know, dealing with some other stuff that was more urgent, I was like, all right, I'm going to have at these bushes and kind of do some landscaping in the front yard here. First time with it, but, you know, I grew up on a farm, so I was pretty confident I could figure this out. So I went after these bushes, and they seemed to me like if we pulled hard enough, we could rip them out of the ground. And so I had my father-in-law came down. He brought his huge pickup truck. And our plan was to wrap a chain around the base of these, tie it to the back of the truck, and try to rip them out. As I'm setting this up, my neighbors, real landscapers across the street, were busy doing their thing. And as they saw me take the chain out, they all stopped what they were doing, came to the sidewalk, and took out their phones. No. It was at that moment I realized, maybe this isn't a good idea. And I proceeded with it anyway. So we wrap the chain around the bottom of these, tie it to the truck, get out in the street, and just rip it on the gas. And the truck is just not moving. Wow. Right? These bushes were holding this huge pickup truck hostage. We could not rip it out. You know, and so then we took out the chainsaw and we started buzzing away at these bushes. And I realized why it wasn't easy to pull out. Once you got the surface level dealt with, I was able to see how intertwined the roots were. Look at this root system. It was so interwoven that it was holding itself in the ground. And this is just what's above the ground, let alone the deeper roots of these relationships. Right? I could not rip these roots out because of how interwoven they were. And so the roots are still there today. We did a clean, you know, surface level buzz cut of them, but they're still down there under the ground. This is the final product. I'm not looking to do this for hire. Sorry. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. You want to be so tied in spiritually with each other, so rooted in your relationships, that God would be laughing at Satan trying to pull you out of the ground. Where if anything in your life, a hardship, a sin, a trial comes to try to rip you out, you are not budging. Not because of your own strength, but because of your first being rooted in your relationship with God, but not just Him, but all of God's people that are in your life. Interwoven relationships with each other. You know, recently I was going through the book of Colossians for a sermon series in the city campus and for my quiet times. And I saw all the relationships Paul was mentioning at the end of his letter. And I decided to draw a chart of his relationships. And so I put Paul in the middle and then arrows to all the other people that he mentioned and what he says about them and the role they played in his life. And I'm able to see, doesn't Paul's life look a little bit like that root system? And no wonder it would have been so hard to pull Paul out from all that he was going through. And I said, I wonder what this would look like for my life. And so I started thinking through my relationships and thinking about, well, what's my root system? Who are the main people in there for me? And, you know, obviously, you've got Chelsea right there next to me. She's the number one, right? But so many other people that support me, that help me, that I can't imagine doing life without. And I know if I even tried to leave God, I would have to want to leave so badly to pull through all of the people trying to hold me down. Right? How would your life look if you drew it out like this? Maybe for a quiet time this week, you could do something similar. How hard would it be to uproot you? Do you surround yourself with people who make sure that you're growing, who make sure that you're surviving and thriving spiritually? Who are you helping to do that? Let's value and invest in these relationships because they're worth it. You know, over time, I've been a Christian for over 13 years now. Now, some of you have been a Christian double that. Over time, I realized the more life happens, the more I realize that my relationships matter to me more than anything else and that they deserve to get a priority. Don't be so busy building the case for your life that you miss filling it with what really matters. A house isn't a home if a family doesn't live there. And a church isn't really the church if we don't have one another relationships. We need each other to survive and thrive spiritually. Without deep one another relationships, we will be shallow and easily uprooted. But with them, you will be enriched, you will grow, you will be supported, and nothing that life or Satan throws at you will be able to pull you away. My hope and prayer is that we will all leave here today deciding that these deep relationships are going to be a priority in our life. And that you will all get to enjoy the blessings of a life done together as God intended. I do want to thank you all for having the City Campus come and join us today. And I hope this message was helpful. Love you guys.